listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace this day from Jesus. Amen. Especially when our kids were younger than they are now, there were some words in our house that we just didn't say. It's still true, I think, in some extent, but our kids have learned and heard and understand a lot more now. But back in the day when they were little, early elementary school, preschool, we taught Micah and Katie that there are words that we just don't say under our roof. We don't say hate in our house. But Daddy, other people say hate all the time, Micah questioned back when he was that age. And my teacher said it's not a bad word. That may be true, Micah, but we don't use that word in our house. We don't say stupid. We don't say idiot. We don't say shut up, and we don't say fat either. Somehow, Heather, in all our parental omniscience from up here, came to the conclusion that canceling these words from our household vocabulary is a good thing down there. The problem is when we slip. When I'm watching a Cubs game and I blurt out, "Oh, I hate AJ Pierzynski." Or when I'm reading the newspaper in the living room while Katie's doing her homework in the kitchen and I suddenly completely lose all awareness of where I am and shout, "I can't believe it! This guy's an idiot! I wish he would shut up! He's so stupid! I hate him!" Okay, maybe a little hyperbole there, but you know I slipped up all the time. And in each of these circumstances, I then had to engage in the tricky parental activity of explaining myself, probably apologizing. I hope I apologized. Making amends or exceptions, but always, always including an affirmation that they're right. "You're right. I shouldn't have said that. I said we shouldn't say those words, and here I am saying them myself. Great is your faithfulness to what we said, Micah. Great is your faithfulness to what we said, Katie. But here we are, sloshing about. It's one thing to preach it. It's something much different to live it. Good teaching can trickle down from up here, but great faith sloshes around down there." Our gospel passage today starts out with some great teaching from up here. Jesus, again, is crumbling up the Pharisees' neatly sliced world, this time with a lesson on purity, that it's not what goes into the mouth that's unclean. They were worried about food and what people were eating, and Jesus says it's not what goes into the mouth that's unclean. It's what comes out of the mouth. In other words, words. That's what makes a person pure or defiled. But Jesus isn't just teaching us not to swear here. Let's not get too caught up with just bad words like stupid or idiot or fat and a whole bunch of others that unfortunately we all know. I've known people who swear like sailors. Some of them are sailors. They're in the Navy. And they have a heart of gold. Their words might be foul, but their hearts burn with purity. Their intentions are compassionate. Maybe you've known people like this too. While others, proud of their purity and squeaky clean mouths, shoot daggers and explode gossip with their curseless words. Sure, we should watch our language. That's true for all of us, but Jesus isn't teaching us here not to swear. He's teaching us about heart surgery. The heart, you see, in that culture, was understood to be the source of our thoughts. and our decisions about how to live in the world. The heart was the center. That's the understanding at that time. So when things are said about the heart, I hope you understand it's much more than an organ that pumps blood. Jesus is teaching us about slicing away all that harms us and our neighbors and our world, cutting that out of the heart. Anything that harms us or our neighbors or the world, and that's a good teaching from up there. But it's one thing to preach it. It's something much different to live it. The story goes on in our text today, and it says that Jesus left his pulpit, if you will. He left that place and went away to a different region, it says. He left the pureness of heart lecture notes on the stand and came down to another region, and this is where it gets sloppy, where it sloshes around. A woman approaches, and she's not of Jesus' tribe. She's a strange woman. She is a Syrophoenician. She's from the coast. Jesus grew up in a neighborhood where such women were despised. They were hated, stupid idiots who needed to shut up, who were always encroaching on his people, the real chosen Jews, not these half-bred aliens from the coast. You see what's happening here? And so Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who just got done preaching about purity of heart, about words, goes and calls her a dog. She comes to him asking for healing, and he goes and he calls her a dog. It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, he says. A dog. Do you know how dirty dogs were then? They're not adorable, housebroken little pooches that we bless when we do the blessing of the animals here at Bethlehem. We even sing about how dogs give us a glimpse of God during that service. No. Dogs back then were mangy, flea-bitten mutts that were as irritating as flies. And calling a person a dog, that was as offensive as a white person calling a black person a word that we won't even print. A dog, he calls her. It's one thing to preach it. It's something much different to live it. What do we do with this text, where our precious Jesus himself is falling for the same old racial slurs, the same old arrogance, the same old self-righteousness, the same old divisions, the same old hatred that has plagued generations and cultures throughout history and still plagues us today? Words escalate to threats, and threats escalate to violence, and violence escalates to wars. There's nothing new here. This is a side of Jesus that many are tempted either to ignore or rationalize away or defend, as if the Savior of the world needed saving. I can't explain Jesus out of this offense, out of his calling this woman a dog. Some years I try when I preach on this text, but I can't. I can share with you what I see happening ultimately, though. Sloppiness, thanks be to God, even though we don't want sloppiness. Excuse me. We don't want sloppiness, sneezes. None of us do. We want it neat and tidy and clear cut, like the Pharisees, where life is a set of rules to keep and roles to fill. Neatly sliced, but the gift, could the gift be sloppiness? I see Jesus, fully divine and fully human, coming down from on high to be in the mix of it all. Good teaching can trickle down from up there, but great faith sloshes around down here. It's one thing to preach it, it's another thing to live it. And in this case, God surprises us again. A Syrophoenician woman calls Jesus out. Watch how she responds, not by hitting back, and not by going away either, not by tucking and running like a dog back then. "Yes, Lord," she says, "but even the dogs eat the bread from the master's table." "I might be a dog if that's what you choose to call me, but I'm still hungry. I'm still broken, all right. Which is why I need the bread that only you can give." She doesn't fight back with hateful words. She doesn't give either. She doesn't back away. She doesn't run. She stands up strong. She demonstrates her faith. She makes a statement of faith. "Only you, Jesus, offer the bread that I need, the healing that I need, the salvation which you have prepared." And something must have snapped in Jesus, for immediately his tone changes and then he affirms her. Forget the tricky explaining, like when my child catches me using a word that's off limits. "I can't explain it. I can't explain why I said it." We'll just have to jump to the affirmation. "Woman, great is your faith." In a way, I'm not sure who's helping who in this text today. I'm not sure who is forgiving who. I'm not sure who is blessing who. What is clear is that Jesus is with her. Not up there. He's in the mix, sloshing around down here, as sloppy as it all can be. And that's the heart of the gospel. Siblings in Christ, it's not always neat and clean, unfortunately, as you well know, but we have a Christ who gets close, who plunges into the mix. We have a Christ who kneels down, who takes our hand, and we take his. We have a God who doesn't stay up there, but who always enters into the sloshiness of this life down here. Good teaching can trickle down from up there, but great faith sloshes around down here. It's one thing to preach it. And I pray daily that we can preach a good thing up here, up at the church. But we don't always. I don't always. Sometimes the preacher's words from up here are winded or fake or confusing or sometimes just wrong. Good teaching and preaching can trickle down from up there, but the real action is down here, down in our living rooms and our kitchens and our basements, down in our offices and the stores and out on the roads. Great faith is down there, sloshing around. And man, it sloshes. It is sloppy and messy and soggy. It ain't easy, this practice of purity of heart, this discipline of choosing words of compassion, not violence, not abuse. It ain't easy staying in touch with each other, in relationship with each other and with the stranger and with the world. It ain't easy remaining faithful, coming back, giving ourselves to the rhythms of the church and the nudgings of the Spirit week after week, year after year. And as soon as I'm finished preaching up here, I'm right back down there, sloshing around. And thank God that we slosh around together as church. And thank God we slosh around with Jesus, who enters the sloppiness of this life and stays with us. Maybe even more than we wanted. Who banters back and forth with us, albeit sometimes a struggle. Who names and commends our great faith. "Woman, great is your faith." Women, great is your faith. Men, great is your faith. All siblings in Christ, Jesus says to us, great is your faith. Remember that I'm down here with you too, and I'll never leave. Amen. I know you're just listening to this on the podcast, but our hymn of the day today is, O God, why are you silent? If you if you're able to look that hymn up, O God, why are you silent? It's from the lament section of our hymnal. And when I think of the Syrophoenician woman calling Jesus out, I think she's the one that preaches the sermon today. And the hymn of the day is really the people's sermon. The pastor gives a sermon and then the people respond. So together we're going to sing, O God, why are you silent today? And it's this woman calling Jesus out, asking for what it is she needs. Great is her faithfulness, and ours too. As we sing, O God, why are you silent, with our hearts and demand Christ's healing in our lives and our world. And Christ responds.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.